A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. In the first book, Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus did and taught until the day he was taken up, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them by many proofs after he had suffered, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While meeting with them, he enjoined them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, about which you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When they had gathered together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He answered them, It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has established by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him from their sight. While they were looking intently at the sky as he was going, suddenly two men dressed in white garments stood beside them. They said, Men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking at the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will return in the same way as you have seen him going into heaven. Verbum Domini. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, May the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, resulting in knowledge of him. May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call, what are the riches of glory in his inheritance among the holy ones, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe, in accord with the exercise of his great might, which he worked in Christ, raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavens, far above every principality, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things beneath his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. Verbum Domini.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they saw him, they worshiped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." Verbum Domini. The Lord, in his generous love for us, has given us the free gift of his grace. He's given us himself. And this comes through the love of the Holy Spirit that has been poured into us through the sacraments. And with this grace, God has called us to live his life, to suffer as he suffers, and to rise as he rises, and even to ascend as he ascends. However, sometimes we are grounded. We may get caught up in certain distractions. We may not want to embrace the cross. And this is what we see here with the disciples before Jesus goes into heaven. He has to tell them. He has to awaken them to his teachings again and constantly remind them that his power will come upon them. He reminds them of their call to go out and to baptize and to proclaim his kingdom to all nations. That is their call, to go and spread the word of God, to do works of mercy and charity. And so here we learn today another reminder of our own call to live with the Lord and even to ascend with him. So here we have Jesus, who's been on earth there after his death, his resurrection, for 40 days. He's living among the disciples. They see that he's real. You know that, of course, he's in his glorified body here. And he's continuing to give them instructions. And now it is the time for him to ascend to the Father. And Jesus, who has reminded them over and over again of what their call is to be, now assures them that the Holy Spirit will come. And then, again, the reminder of to go out and to proclaim the message to all the earth, everywhere, constantly, all the time. Well, as we see, the disciples are getting a little caught up in themselves. They don't really all understand everything. And if we look back, and we could even see how Jesus has assured them that the Holy Spirit will come. He keeps saying this, says this throughout the Gospels, especially in the Last Supper, and now here today. So you think that they'd get it. You know, this is okay, the Lord has told me. But then right as he ascends into heaven, they are looking up. And yeah, I mean, that's one of the most magnificent sights to see, is Jesus ascending into heaven. And there he is, lifted up. And yeah, I mean, that is quite astounding. I mean, anybody would be in awe if they saw the Lord going into heaven. But then they stay there, and a little too long. And then the angels appear. Now, the angels are very obedient to God. All they know is service and to do the will of God. So for us, you know, we take our time. We get caught up in different distractions and things. But the angels have prostrated themselves and do everything that the Father tells them to do. And now they don't understand why these disciples are just staring there. So they have to be very direct with them. Says, why are you standing there? I mean, it's almost a very, very blunt, almost like a little rude. But you see, they just don't understand. I mean, they know what Jesus has just instructed them, and there they are standing around. So they have to correct them. He says, okay, hey, you know what? He's already told you. He says, get up, and you already know what's going to happen. Go to Jerusalem. You know, why just stop standing around? So there they go. Okay. So here we have in this reading here, in the book of Acts, two times where Jesus tells the disciples, you know, they ask him, they say, hey, what about the coming of the kingdom? What about like the times and all of this? Jesus says, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons. Go out and do my will. And then again with the angels. Well, here we are, we who are called to live as Jesus lives, who've been given the power of the Holy Spirit, are now called to bring Jesus everywhere in the world, to all we come in contact with. Now, Jesus, who's called us to be like himself, you know, that means to be mature, to be in charity. Now, the Lord calls us to get off the milk and into the meat, as St. Paul tells us. So we are to be mature Christians, but sometimes we're not. Well, what happens? Well, here as we see, you know, the disciples, remember here how they're caught in getting caught up in the times and the seasons. You know, there's often things that will fascinate us. The end times. I mean, that's very interesting, you know, to see when is the Lord coming back, when I'm going to be ready. Now, and then, you know, another thing that we can get caught up with too much is the devil. Yeah, we got to know his tricks, and we got to have to know how to discern evil and good from bad. You know, yes, there is spiritual warfare, but sometimes the devil wants us to get so distracted with himself that we become overconsumed with him, then instead of focusing on Jesus and doing the works of charity that the Lord Jesus has called us to do. So, two things here that could keep us down. Another thing is that we may get too caught up in the sensations of religion, in the emotions, in the feelings of it. That when any time when we go through a little dryness or a little darkness in our spiritual life, immediately we're looking for answers. Well, there are times where God has called us to enter into his dryness and his darkness. It is so that we can grow. So these are actually good times because they help us to be sanctified and to be purified. You know, purified from the things that separate us from God. They help us to control our emotions and ultimately to take reign of ourselves. So it's good to have a little dryness and even a little darkness as long as Jesus is there with us. And that's where we go in these times, with Jesus, through the dryness, through his darkness, because this is his life. And that's what we have to remember. See, when the crosses come, when the distractions come, let's think about Jesus here. This is his life imparted to us. Now, when we hear about the lives of the saints, you know, we see them, you know, doing all these great works of charity. We see them enduring all these sufferings. And what's happening in their life is they're living like Jesus. And they're walking his life by doing these good works. Then they're suffering like him. And then they're even rising like him and ascending. And as we've seen in some of the saints, that some of them even ascended, you know, even would levitate in their prayer. Saw this of St. Joseph of Cupertino, great Franciscan saint. St. Teresa of Avila is another one. They did rise from the ground. No? But in order for us to rise and ascend with Jesus, we need to be willing to carry the cross, even if it means a little dryness, a little darkness. When we hear of the writings of some of the great spiritual writers, John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, John of Avila, you know, they speak about ascending. Now, as we hear in St. John of the Cross, the ascent of Mount Carmel to go up. St. Teresa of Avila tells us about the interior castle, about going to these different castles, I mean, rising. See, so God is always calling us to rise. So this means that we can't let anything keep us down anymore. We are called to rise with him. So here, when the pain comes, when the troubles start brewing, when there is adversity, or when we are tempted or distracted anyway, what we do is now we go to Jesus, because this is our time to rise up. Does it mean that we just sort of be in denial of what's happening to us and around us? No. To rise up, to rise above something, means to go with Jesus. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus think? This is what it means to rise above something in the Lord, is that we go to him. But often when the problems come, when the trials or troubles, we want to stay down. You know, we want to overly comfort ourselves instead of rising to Jesus. Or we just want to just soak in the pity, in the problem, in the anger. No, instead of looking to Jesus and saying, how would Jesus handle this? Looking to his life. And when we do that, then we are truly rising. No, yeah, we will have, you know, certain emotions. It'll be scary. You know, we will get upset just naturally. But give it to the Lord. Don't stay in it. And move forward. Because as we move forward, then we're rising. And ultimately, we are ascending. And the great example of this, of somebody who's, of course, full of grace, is the Blessed Virgin Mary. And the Blessed Virgin Mary, who is walking in the grace of the Lord, who is in union with the heart and mind of Jesus always, so much that when it is time for her to leave this earth, she is assumed into heaven. No, so there she shows us the pathway of grace, the grace that we are called to live in. And again, this is the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So now, don't let anything keep you down anymore. It's time to rise up. It's time to give ourselves more deeper, to surrender more of ourselves to the Lord. Because he wants the best for us. He wants, and the best is himself. So here, give it to Jesus. You know, things come and rise above with him. And there he is with us always, as he says here today. This is the grace imparted to us, that here God is always all around us. It's him who's maintaining the existence of the world, sustaining life. And then we have life within us. So here, we are not alone. God is with us. Rise with him, and ultimately, we ascend with him. God bless you all.